Joe Courtney, Democrat, Connecticut 2nd District, you were very nice to come on the program and keep talking to us and keep telling us what you're thinking about things. The big word now is the immigration word. The junior senator from your state, Mr. Murphy, who has appeared on this program many times, now has a plan and says basically we should be involved in resettling some of the Syrian either immigrants or whatever word you want to use, because in some cases immigration doesn't handle it. What do you think?
So I think, I mean, historically this country has always stepped up in terms of times of crisis around the world. You know, whether it's natural disasters, political oppression, or conflict, to provide some refuge for people who, again, are unable to live in their native country. And so, you know, I do think that that's totally appropriate, and, you know, that we actually have well-established precedent and also well-established systems and programs to sort of provide emergency visas for people in that predicament. We actually helped a Syrian family about 2 or 3 years ago who's had folks in the U.S. who were citizens, U.S. citizens, and had dual citizenship, and but had family members that were trapped in the conflict. And we met with them after they were able to get out of the country and come through Jordan to Enfield, Connecticut. And you know, I'll tell you, it was unbelievably moving, Alan, to sort of hear the story of this mother and small children who fled to meet with her husband, who was already in the States because of he was a some type of medical professional, and it sort of drove home the point that you know, this country you know, should be proud of the fact that we have taken in people who otherwise, you know, literally may not live if they had to stay in these war-torn situations. So, you know, I haven't sort of seen exactly what Chris had proposed, but I think that in general, in principle, you know, both European countries, the Pope, and our country, you know, really have a role to play here in terms of trying to provide humanitarian help.
Joe, are you Catholic?
I am.
The Pope, you mentioned it, so I thought I'd go there for a minute, has a turned annulment around and says it's time to simplify it, make it free, as opposed to everybody suspects that the people who have the most get the easiest annulments. What do you make of that?
I mean, to be honest, Alan, there's absolutely no question that it's kind of a pay-to-play system, you know, that's been in place. And, you know, celebrities and, you know, the wealthy have been able to, you know, get their cases moved to the front of the line and to, you know, get them taken care of expeditiously. And, you know, the average sort of middle class Catholic, you know, was sort of at the back of the line, or even, you know, low income Catholic. So, you know, the one thing I think is just so important, and, you know, obviously there's some, you know, grumbling, you know, within the ranks of, you know, a very diverse population that makes up the Catholics in the U.S. and across the world, is that I really think this Pope understands that these changes are almost existential for the Church. If they don't start sort of, you know, responding to what's happening out there in terms of real people's lives, I mean, the divorce laws, even in Ireland and Italy and places like that, have changed, you know, dramatically over the last 50 years. And the Church has got to sort of get sort of in sync with that to some degree without sacrificing its basic principles, or it's really just going to end up being, you know, a shell of itself in terms of, you know, who shows up at Mass. I mean, you know, when my wife and I go to church, I mean, frankly, it's an older population that's there. And I have good friends who, you know, went to parochial school, were devout Catholics, had their kids go to school. You know, unfortunately, they ran into marital problems and got divorced. And it's sad to see them, you know, excluded from something that really is part of their lives from the day they were born. And so I think he gets that. And it's really important for people to support him.
Have you ever had a chance to meet him?
I have not. I mean, I am very excited about his address to Congress. My wife is, you know, who's a very devout practicing Catholic. She works at St. Francis Hospital in Hartford, Connecticut, is going to get my one seat that I get up in the gallery. She deserves it. She, you know, is a pediatric nurse practitioner and, you know, lives her faith every single day. And But it is going to be an amazing
moment. Does she admire him?
She reads his homily every day online.
Explain to us what a homily is. Is it his daily thought?
It's his daily thought. It's his sermon that he recites it at church. And it's like a blog, the other day he had one about, you've got to resist the temptation to gossip, because it's just so destructive and harmful. And for a politician to think about that, that's really hard, Alan.
Well, it's one thing to say it, even for a president of a radio station.
That's right. He really is a very, and again, he obviously deals with the big issues of the day, but he also, is very connected to just, regular people and the struggles you have to try and live a good life.
And now that we're on the subject, and it's so fascinating to me as a practitioner, as somebody who goes to church, who's married to a religious woman.
Yeah.
When somebody says, when a church person, I remember interviewing Mario for years.
Yeah, I used to listen to those.
And people would say, they'd get some bishop to say, you'll roast in hell forever to Mario. Has that ever happened to you, that kind of thing?
Not from a cleric, but certainly from rank and file members, my parish even. I always thought Cuomo, Mario Cuomo, really, just had it pegged perfectly in terms of, the struggle that, people of faith, of all different kinds of faith, have to sort of grapple with in terms of your role as a public servant, public official, and your own personal beliefs and personal life. And frankly, it was why I just loved listening to your program many years ago and reading his book and his speech in Notre Dame. He really was, ahead of his time.
I'm going to send you an autographed copy of my book, Me and Mario, about those radio years, and hope that you'll enjoy it.
I will.
I want to ask you really quickly, you're now spending all this time back in the district. How important are what people telling you in the district in terms of your views on how you vote and what you do? There's always been this, are you a follower or a leader?
So, when you're home, obviously the in this August, the Iran deal was a big topic, whether I was at a Rotary Club, Chamber, Senior Center, that issue certainly came up. It was not as hot as I think some of the pundits were predicting, that it was going to be kind of like the summer of 2009 with the Affordable Care Act. Having said that, the conversation almost immediately gravitates into, the famous words of Tip O'Neill, all politics is local. And people, really do want to focus on issues of local concern. So, right now there's a big project that the Army Corps of Engineers is doing in terms of its new dredging plan for Long Island Sound. Frankly, there's some conflict between people on the New York side and the Connecticut side, which is unfortunate, I think. But for the maritime industry on the Connecticut side, as well as the Navy base in Groton, getting these rivers and waterways dredged out and coming up with an appropriate, environmentally safe disposal plan is critical. And that was a very big topic when I was home in August. We did a lot of work with rural development, USDA. Again, I come from the rural part of Connecticut and, was involved in a lot of projects there. So these, sort of bread and butter, nuts and bolts, blocking and tackling, keep going here with analogies. That really still is the what I really think people want to make sure, I'm involved in and not forgetting about, I think the danger, you've got to balance it. Obviously we have important national and international issues to grapple with down here in Washington, but at the end of the day, the people who send you to be here, I really want to make sure that you're thinking of them and you're watching out for them.
Well, Joe Courtney, I love this interview, and it's always great because you're a guy who talks from the heart. You tell the truth. You don't, as you see it. And you don't play games. I so appreciate that. And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Alan. Look forward to reading your book.